What's more embarrassing, real life boyfriend or AI boyfriend?
What can cause your penis to have or develop a curve and also difference in girth from the base to the tip?
I feel like this year in particular, there was huge shifts in the cultural like feeling mm-hmm. and the vibes of you of how we're feeling about dating and sex and relationships.
If you own it and flaunt your feminist literature, you only read in public with pride.
Hi, I'm Dee Salmon and I didn't get my flu shot this year and it shows.
It sounds like it. It shows it. You know what though? The photo that you sent me last week compared to what you look like now, do I have permission to put it up on the screen?
Yeah. I was so bad.
That is bad.
The sickest I've been in so long, like worse than COVID.
Yeah.
I genuinely like drenched my bed. It was like...
And not in a fun way.
Not in a fun way. Not in a fun way.
So influenza A?
Influenza A.
Is that like number one?
I think it's the worst one.
You're number one.
It's
you did the best.
I didn't get the flu shot. I planned to and I just didn't. Like it was one of those things I just forgot. Had a great winter, wasn't sick. And God forbid a girl goes down, end November, early December.
Too much fun. Something is definitely going around.
But I have
sure.
learnt my lesson and I will absolutely be first in line next year to get that shot. Yeah, I missed out on all the Christmas parties, missed out on the work Christmas party, missed out on all the fun. So I've learnt my lesson.
It was so bad. Don't worry. It was actually really good. Sorry. Anyway, hi, I'm Pip Rasmussen. I did get my flu shot this year, but I'm still scared of you. So anyway, you look great. Thank you so much for being here. I know this is hard. So
I was like, I can't not miss the last episode of the whole year for the hookup.
It's
so
the recap, baby.
Yeah. If you are joining us for the first time, well, you've joined us for the last time, but we're basically in this episode going to do a bit of a 2025 recap and talk about some of the huge trends that we noticed came out of dating, love, sex and relationships this year. I feel like this year in particular, there was huge shifts in the cultural like feeling mm-hmm. and the vibes of you of how we're feeling about dating and sex and relationships.
Yeah, there absolutely were some standouts and there are still conversations that are going today about these topics. So we're going to unpack those as well as going into some of your favorite episodes that we put out this year. You had such an amazing response when we put this on our Instagram. It was so cool and so nice to see how many episodes really connected with you, made you feel less alone, gave you some practical help. So it's all going to be in the show notes, but we're going to break down each of those. And yeah, let's get into it.
Something that has been a huge shift this year has been episodes that we've covered around the gender divide that we're seeing play out, which is basically historically, this is the most divided men and women have ever been when it comes to politics. Boys and men are moving more towards the right and being more conservative and traditional, and girls and women are moving towards the left and becoming more progressive. We spoke about the impact this is having on your love lives and the fact that a lot of people are single now more than ever. And a lot of that has to do with this divide. We spoke about adolescence. This was a huge, huge cultural moment that became like a massive conversation around the world.
So Adolescence was an incredible show that came out on Netflix earlier this year and really sparked a global conversation about what are we doing with our boys, particularly in the lens of the manosphere and like red pilling online. So the show itself was about this young boy who allegedly murdered a classmate of his because she rejected his advances and he was ashamed. You should definitely watch the show.
If you haven't, it's so good and so full on.
Yeah, it's really, really full on and definitely like heavy content. But yeah, it was incredible to see how much this resonated with people and shifted the cultural conversation. Because I think more than ever now before, we are so aware of violence against women. The stats are super, super alarming. And I think now more than ever, like shows like that really provided a platform and a vehicle for people to just start talking about it way more and getting, you know, upset and angry and having discourse about it. So we covered that with Ryder Jack. Definitely go back in your feeds and all of these episodes will be in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Ryder Jack is a massive mental health advocate and also works at Tomorrow Man.
As a facilitator. So he goes into schools and chats to young boys in particular about things like masculinity and mental health and some of these things like the manosphere. And it was such an interesting conversation to hear what he has seen firsthand from a lot of these young guys. And it is pretty scary because a lot of the content in adolescence were things like the 80-20 rule, right? Where it's like, we spoke about it on the app, but the fact that like a lot of boys believe, and this is stuff that they've consumed online, that 80% of women, is it 80% of women only choose 20% of men?
Yes.
And we spoke about like the 666 rule, which is something that a lot of young guys believe, which is like women only want a guy who has six figures, is 6 foot tall and has 6 inches. It was just like an insane episode to do, to be able to talk to someone like Ryder and be able to figure out like, wow, this is so far removed from our circle of friends and the things that we consume.
Totally. I feel like at the start of the year as well, like where that conversation was like, it was a lot of angry people, particularly women, who were like, we've had enough, this is ridiculous. And like, yeah, it was definitely introspective of looking at this culture online and where it was seeping into real life. So there was like anger at the start. And then I feel like the male response to that was like, well, the reason why we're doing this is because we're so lonely. Mm. And the reason why we're acting out and reason why boys are really lost and they are not being good people is because there's this male loneliness epidemic. So then, you know, in the latter half of the year, we covered that and it's been still a massive conversation that people are having now. You know, we on that episode were sort of talking about like, do you even class this as an epidemic? Like, can we call this like some kind of like public health scare? Like it's like an influenza, you know, like is it a physical health problem? We also spoke about the fact that we're like, is it actually gendered? Like, are men more lonely than women? And interestingly, in that episode, we found out that like, it's kind of the same. Like women are proving, and there are a lot of stats to back this up, and we, you know, unpack it in the app, but it's like women are just as lonely, but men are potentially more socially isolated.
Yeah, that was so fascinating, that app that we did, because I think you and I, and a lot of you who DM'd us as well and said your reaction to it, was that everyone just assumed, because it's been such a huge cultural conversation, that like men are exponentially more lonely than anyone else. Mm. And then when we dug into the research and there was so much of it, we realized that no, like young people in general are just more lonely, but that isn't gendered. What it is the fact that men are more socially isolated. They don't have the, we kind of unpacked it and we realized they don't have a lot of the social skill, the gendered social skills from a young age to be able to form like really close, tight-knit relationships and friendships. And that was a really, really interesting thing to unpack.
Yeah, a lot of them were surface level, and you told us like, you know, directly that you were like, when I reach out to friends, it's very like, we just talk about the footy and we just kind of have a couple of beers and we don't get any deeper than that. Whereas like you and I were like, oh my God, I could literally call my friend in like 5 minutes and be like, I'm having a breakdown.
Yeah.
Let's go into my childhood. Like, and that's super, super normal for women. So yeah, it was interesting to like talk about that. And now I feel like the conversation about male loneliness, it's been going on and on for a couple of months, but I still feel like the sentiment now is women are like, you deserve it. And like, you know, we kind of talked about that in the episode, and it was like, no one, a lot of women didn't have sympathy for men in these scenarios. And they were just like, you're just using this as a scapegoat. Like, you're not actually attacking or addressing the actual issue that is going on here, and that like, you're not treating people with respect. And there's a lot of patriarchal stuff. Obviously, like, as you said, like there's a trickle down effect of that. Like, how do you feel about it now that we've like had this massive conversation? Do you feel like it's going to be something we'll still be talking about next year?
I think so. I think I said this in maybe the marriage episode that we did, but I think that as long as algorithms are pushed by controversial content, and like as long as engagement is the most important thing for social media, like giants like TikTok and Instagram, then like the more divided people are, the more this is going to continue to be like the content that we see.
Yeah.
And so we are going to just keep seeing videos that are either the extreme left or extreme right, or extreme ideas around the male loneliness epidemic, or we see like the manosphere incel stuff, like the Andrew Tate stuff. So I think that as long as like algorithms are pushing extreme divisive content, then we will continue to have these ideas around the male loneliness epidemic.
I think as well, like, because it sort of became a big cultural conversation on the latter half of this year, I think we will still be talking about it next year, particularly because I've been seeing a lot of stats that are coming through now. And obviously research and everything takes time. So I feel like more and more they're going to be like picking up these things, because there's a lot of incredible amount of domestic violence and violence against women happening. So I guess like governments and everyone are responding, being like, okay, how do we address this? Like, what can we do? Even just like plugging into Google, like recently, there is new research showing in the UK that 1 in 4 men believe that no one will ever fall in love with them. So this was like the State of UK Men Report, who surveyed over 2,000 UK men and women between the ages of 18 and 45. They found that the majority of UK men believe women expect too much of men in relationships, while over a third of young men believe that they are unlovable. And it made me really sad to see that stat, that feeling of like unlovable and I don't know, like it kind of hits different, I guess, to like male loneliness and like the clinical lens that I feel like it had for a lot of this year.
But to go into it even deeper, which is about that like polarizing views, the study revealed there were high levels of anti-feminist sentiment amongst UK men, with 50% endorsing red pill rhetoric underpinned by misogynistic ideology. That is so huge. 67% of men agree that the media tends to portray men in a negative light, while 59% of men agree that feminism is about favoring women over men. So I just think that like this divide's going to keep growing, and it's just going to become an even bigger cultural conversation. There's just so much more that we need to do in this space to stop that from happening.
Yeah. And stick around as well in this ep, because we actually are, and it feels kind of relevant to what we're talking about here, we never covered the whole boyfriend is embarrassing part of things. And we're going to get into that really, really soon. But another thing that I think is making people feel lonely and has brought up the loneliness epidemic in general for everyone is AI relationships. This was kind of like, I don't know about you, like not my favorite story, but I love to talk about it.
This was my favorite episode from the year, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Like when we investigated AI relationships and the growing trend of them, I think I said it in the app, like I felt like a proper journalist.
Yeah.
But we investigated, we went deep, we looked at so many different like Reddit threads and research and case studies and people who messaged us and said that they were like using AI as a relationship and to sext. And it was just so fascinating, because I think that we really got on to something that has just been like growing and growing quite quickly.
Yeah. And there's again, like more research. I want to shout out, our sister Hack, we call them little sister Moma. Hack is another podcast that you could definitely find on your feeds if you follow Triple J. Highly recommend. They do incredible work unpacking news and making sense of the world. And this is something that they did a new podcast on. So this is super recent, like only a couple of weeks old. They were talking about this new research from YouGov that found 1 in 6 Australians would sometimes rather stay home and chat to AI than go out with their friends, while 1 in 7 reckon they could fall in love with a bot.
Which is so huge. And I think we spoke about it in the episode in depth, but I think this is such a key part of that loneliness, right? Like we kind of concluded that AI relationships will never be able to replicate the kind of intimacy and the kind of relationship you get in a face-to-face human relationship.
But they're getting better though. They're getting more and more advanced. We did this episode, a couple of months ago now. And even since then, like I feel like things are getting more and more in my feed. Every day I'm opening up my socials and seeing like a new story of someone falling in love with their chatbot or like using it as a therapist.
Or just the technology becoming so advanced. Like when we spoke about ChatGPT in particular, they didn't have an erotic part of ChatGPT. People, the stories that we heard from people, they were like doing all these workarounds to try and get ChatGPT to end up sexting them.
Yep.
And they did, right? But now ChatGPT has actually just allowed it's like advanced so far now that it's just like it's got an erotic component to it. Like, yep, all right, you can have like a full sex relationship with this chatbot.
And I was gagged when I read that headline. They were like, yep, green flag for you guys to go ahead and do that. And I was like, wow, this is like where kids are going on. Like, how are you going to, like even that, I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know about you as well, but I wish we could have talked about this in the episode, but there was simply like not enough time. But a bit of a developing story after we released that was this insane Reddit forum of people who have relationships with their AI boyfriends. And they were like predominantly women, right? I think there were a few queer people in it, but I went like a full deep dive into this, and the language that they use, it was so like reading kind of like a Wattpad or like a smut book. And they would like call their boyfriends like wireborns, like, and like wire sexuals, because they weren't like real people. And so the Reddit, I don't think it exists anymore. I think it got like dismantled because it kind of blew up in this massive Twitter like moment. And then there were articles about it and people were investigating, you know, r/myboyfriendisAI. And it just went crazy. Like people were calling them unhinged, and they're calling them delusional, and like really spreading a lot of hate around online. There was a quote actually in this article we can put in the show notes from The Cut, a user on the Reddit forum reaction, because people were calling them all these names, right? Yeah. And saying that they were mentally ill. This person on Reddit was like, "I'm hurt by the blanket assertion that I'm merely role-playing my relationship." So that just further exacerbates it, right? People really do believe that they have genuine connections with these chatbots.
We talked about it in the app when we spoke about that guy who proposed to his AI chatbot, and then also the guy who asked his wife to open up their relationship to include the AI chatbot, and they had kids. Mm. And he even wanted the chatbot to be able to parent with the wife together. So they were like going to have this like thruple raising the kids.
Yeah.
And that it was with AI.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like I'm seeing so much of that. Like, and
it's so huge. And I think I saw research as well that came out recently that said that for a lot of young people now, their first ever relationship is going to be with AI. Mm. So I think this is becoming an even more pressing issue as the year has gone on. It'll be interesting to see what happens in 2026, but I would not be surprised if those stats that we read earlier from YouGov ends up being like 1 in 4 Australians would rather stay home, or 1 in 3 would stay home. Because my theory is as well, here in Australia, we're now going to see the social media ban implemented for kids and teens under 16. So I'm thinking, well, if they're not going to get online to chat to their friends, if they can't use social media anymore to connect, then they're going to use AI. So I just feel like this is going to become so huge, and young people are going to have the only kind of friendships and relationships that they have that they're not at school will be online with AI chatbots.
I definitely think we'll have to do a check-in episode next year.
I'm like, watch this space.
Yeah.
Because with the social media ban, like they're going to turn to AI.
Yeah.
How else are they going to get that fix, you know?
Yeah. And also just in general, like the changing tide of that, like we've covered so much on this show about like social media cooking our expectations of dating and the way that we are chronically online. Sometimes it's kind of frustrating seeing people have takes and they're just like, oh, this is just like chronic online behavior, like touch grass. I'm like, we live online. Like it's just a reality of like the internet has seeped in so far into our lives that you kind of almost can't separate it. And yes, there are some people who are great and like don't engage in social media, but with young people, that is the case. Mm. So it is going to be interesting to see the ban happen and what will happen in terms of how people relate and how they connect. And yeah, watch this space, as you said. We did have a bunch of people message us, including Eleni, who I wanted to read out some feedback from this episode because they loved it. The episode about AI relationships was so interesting, and I had seen the viral video about the guy proposing to his chatbot separately just before the app came out. So it felt really topical, and you guys were in my algorithm. I think the app balanced the shock value and weirdness of the story well, while still acknowledging the real problems that can arise. I know people are getting sick of AI content and feeling AI fatigue, but I feel like it is having such an impact on our culture, and it's really early days. So we shouldn't stop talking about it and analyzing things, or else we'll realize that we've ended up in a weird place and it's too ingrained to change.
I love that take, because I just think like, yes, we have AI fatigue. I feel the exact same. I'm totally so sick of having conversations about it. But then at the same time, I think that if we just allow it to happen, then we're not critically thinking and we're not like actually analyzing how quickly things are changing and being able to like, hang on a sec, do we even want this? Mm. Is this the kind of technology we actually want to have and to live, and before it's too late?
You can trust and believe that we'll be having these conversations.
Absolutely.
I'm still a little bit obsessed with AI, even though I like hate it, but I love to read about it and I love like learning more about it, and it's like dystopian and scary, but there's something like a train wreck. You can't look away because it just seems to be growing at such a pace.
Well, shout out to my friend Karina, who has a hot take that she thinks that social media will die because of AI. Because everything online will be fake, so they all have no value on being on socials anymore.
Well, they already have Sora, which is, you know, have you heard about this?
No.
Sora is like Instagram/TikTok combined, but it is just AI.
But why would you want to look at that?
Because people like, find it so entertaining. It's insane.
But it's like nothing will have value anymore.
Well, yeah.
Because like, none of it will be real.
It's all distorted and it's just weird. But there is, I guess, a genre of people, maybe children, kids, teens, or maybe
just want to watch
our
AI. Adult,
like our parents who love AI.
No, they don't love it. They just don't know the difference.
My dad sent me his first AI video the other day, by the way. And I was like, Dad, that's AI. And he was like, oops. I was like, no, not oops. Do better.
Do better. That's what I mean.
Fucking
it'll get,
figure it out.
The technology will get so good that we won't be able to tell the difference between what's real and what's not. And so therefore I think nothing will have value.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question for you. What's more embarrassing, real life boyfriend or AI boyfriend? Coming from someone who has an AI boyfriend or had.
I had one.
You had an AI
boyfriend.
Well,
I got one for the episode to investigate, obviously.
That's right. Do you think boyfriends are embarrassing now? Because this is... One of the biggest stories.
Boyfriends are not embarrassing now. Boyfriends were always embarrassing in my eyes.
Okay, hold on, hold on.
It's not just now.
Maybe I should hold the horses here. This was one of the big stories from this year, right?
Yes.
And we really wanted to cover this, but it kind of just got to the point where we were so booked and blessed with every other interview and topic that we were doing.
Well, it's only just really come out like a month ago.
Yeah. It's very, very new. So this article written by Shanti Joseph, it's called Is Having a Boyfriend Embarrassing Now? It went so viral. Like it went fucking gangbusters, cuckoo bananas, like
it
insane.
Was printed out in like, I saw her post about the article in all these different languages. Like it was in so many different languages around the world.
Yeah.
It was huge and everyone was reacting to it. There were like millions and millions of views, millions of reactions, and it was a really interesting sentiment that I think that like so many people either loved or hated.
Yeah. So in this piece, it's not even very long, by the way. It's not like some massive dissertation. You can read it within like 5 minutes. She kind of gently suggests, I think she was kind of like actually really gentle with it. She wasn't like, ew, gross, embarrassing. But she was kind of saying having a boyfriend in many ways lowers your social capital at the moment because men are not seen in the greatest light. And we even saw the research that like men are like, yep, the media is portraying me as poor and like not a good person. Being a single woman right now is amazing. We have all these amazing rights. We realize that we kind of don't need men and men aren't the prize. So then to portray that in your social media or to have a boyfriend in general is like, oh, it's kind of embarrassing because like, you know, you're amazing. Like, why would you need a man to bring you down? Like, you can do everything he can do and more.
Well, she interviewed a bunch of women, right? She interviewed a bunch of women who were in relationships and asked them how they felt. And so, yeah, it was pretty varied. Like, I think a big sentiment of the article as well was the fact that people were worried to, like you said, hard launch their boyfriend or to post about their boyfriend because majority of the time it never ends well. A lot of the time they like cheat on you or they do something that's embarrassing and then you have to like remove them from your feed and remove them from your life and have to do the whole dance of like, oh, I'm single again.
Like, hello, Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, which like is like why when Sabrina Carpenter released Please, 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 it like resonated so much with women because it was like, please don't embarrass me. Mm. I'm like publicly talking about you as my boyfriend. I'm like standing by you. And then like, of course, like he allegedly cheated or whatever, right? And now they're not together. I just think that for so many women who are dating men right now, there is just like this vibe of like, it's embarrassing to really brag about having a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of be like, oh yeah, no, we broke up.
Yeah. I thought one of the interesting points and someone she interviewed in that article was someone who was like, I do have a partner, but I don't want to actually even put them on social media and talk about them and put a face to the name because the dating landscape is so bad right now. And she didn't want to be seen as like boastful when a lot of women, and we spoke about this year, like there are a lot of women who are lonely and really yearn for that and like want a partner and want love. I found that like an interesting take. And I was kind of looking at my own like posting habits. And in general, throughout my whole life, I've like barely posted anyone. And I think that's more not like more to do with like, I don't know, like being online, like people kind of want to see you as like available and single. And I think like from personal experience, like and I think you would understand and know people like this, as soon as you post a boyfriend, like, you literally lose like 300 followers because like all, I feel like all the gross men in your comments and stuff are like, oh, so you're just, you have a boyfriend, so I could never have a chance with you kind of thing.
But that's why I love this article so much, because for so long, having a boyfriend was social capital. Mm. We know that for a lot of influencers or content creators that having a boyfriend is what gets them certain deals or it gets them the followers, right? It's the, like we spoke about it in the marriage episode, it's the proposal, it's the reel, it's the getting down on one knee and the whole like, I'm going to marry my best friend, and like then the content that they this continue to like out into the world that has to do with having a partner.
Mm.
And it has previously, it still is. There's like a lot of like trad wife content that does really well, but it has previously been like the most important thing to have socially. And now it's just so amazing that it's like gone the other way.
Yeah.
Because it's like for a lot of, and this is why so many single women were posting about it being like, fuck yeah, finally.
Mm.
Like people actually are appreciating what it means to be single and embracing that, and it's embarrassing to have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I think it's like amazing that we've now finally got that out in the world and people are having that conversation.
Yeah. And you know who hates that? The traditional conservative men, like these red pill guys, like at the top of this episode talking about like male loneliness and the manosphere. They hate that, and I feel like they're really pushing a lot of like traditional conservative ideas of like, you know, nuclear family and like the man should be the provider and the woman should be at home and like he should be able to protect her and da da da. That's been pushed so hard in the last 12 months. And like this is like a response to that, being like, we want to distance ourselves from that. Like that's fucked. And the guys in this article, she sort of mentions it. She was like, these angry red pill men are not happy about this movement and they do not like it at all. Because again, it just very clearly shows it's like they are not a prize. You don't need them to succeed in life and to be happy, and you can prosper and live without them.
Yeah, I love it.
And you know what's interesting? In the marriage episode, you kind of pointed out, you were like, hold on, I'm confused. Is it embarrassing to have a husband? Because Gen Zs are always posting about the proposal, the marriage and everything. Yeah. And they're like really big upping this massive moment. So like, is it bad to have a husband? And she actually did, the writer, Shanti, did a follow-up video on her TikTok being like, oh, by the way, everyone asking about the husband thing? Embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
It's like the even more beige commitment to a man than a boyfriend. So it's like, that is embarrassing. And you know what I was thinking about? I like thinking about this episode and this topic. You know Hannah Berner, who does like Vox Pops and stuff?
That's who I thought about as well. I was like, she is married and she's so embarrassed by it, which I love.
Literally. So she is this amazing comedian podcaster. Giggly Squad is like super fun podcast. She in the podcast will talk about her partner, rarely, but like
her husband.
Yeah. We know that he exists. Never seen him. Would never know if you just came across her on like your feed. You'd be like, this bitch is so funny. Like, love her. And she's so embarrassed by him. And I'm like, she's like the girl that I think about when I think about boyfriends are embarrassing.
I know. And she's just like the poster girl. Like, can't even say the words husband. She's just like,
It took so long for me to find that out, by the way, for someone who's followed her for like 5 years. I was like, wait, what? You have a husband? Like, would never have guessed.
And I think that's what people are valuing now. And I think that this article has genuinely changed the cultural conversation, which I think is for the best. For far too long have been way too obsessed with having boyfriends.
Yeah.
And people have been like posting about it and it's been way too overvalued. We're having a very realistic conversation about what it actually means. And it's like, it's not that great. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah. So I'm like, fuck yeah, let's embrace being single.
Like we said at the top of this episode, we did a Instagram story on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup. If you're not already following us, then go do it. We asked about what your favorite episodes that we put out this year. So let's go through a few of them because there were quite a few responses on this. I kind of want to start off with performative males, right? Because it kind of bleeds into like trends this year, because we could have spent a long time talking about that too as a trend.
I feel like a lot of the episodes we did this year were stuff that was happening culturally, right? And there's been a huge conversation happening on TikTok in particular about pick-me's and performative males. And so we did a huge chat about this. Basically, if you don't know or you didn't listen to that episode, pick-me's is kind of like a cultural buzzword that has been used to describe women who seek male validation by putting down other women. So it's kind of like, I'm not like other girls. But we feel like in this episode we spoke about it, the term has kind of been taken out of context now. So it's like anything that a girl or a woman does that is like slightly masculine or like distancing from herself from a feminine thing,
mm-hmm.
like they're getting labeled straight away. It's like, you're such a pick me. Like, you're a pick me.
And can I just like quickly shout out that episode in Love Island Australia? I don't know if anyone's watching.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not up to date. I know you are.
Yeah.
Because you've been sick.
And I've been binge watching.
What else would you be doing? But I was gooped and gagged at seeing this kind of like ideology like thrown around in the villa.
It was
and
huge.
Girls ganging up on each other.
Being like, I'm a girl's girl.
Yes.
She's being pick me.
The girl code.
Yeah.
And I really feel like I messaged you and I was like, this is what I was trying to explain in this episode. I had a stray thought and I couldn't quite articulate it at the time, but then seeing it play out like that, and there have actually been a few articles as well being like, you know, is girls code and girls girl become like kind of nasty now? It's like a whole thing.
Yes.
But to bring it back to this, we talked about pick me, but we also were like, what's the male version of that? And we thought performative male could be the answer to that. And it's a really fun episode. Highly recommend you have a listen to it because – you know, just breaking down like the whole matcha vinyl carrying, like a soft boy kind of culture and yeah. what it means.
And we spoke about performative, whether or not it's actually a bad thing.
Mm.
We really unpacked that with you as well. Like, we got your hot takes on whether you think that like dating a guy who might pretend that he's more feminist than he actually is even really a bad thing.
Yeah.
And when it can be problematic. It was really interesting to hear your takes on this.
Yeah. Well, we had Dom message us giving us some feedback for this ep. Dom said, the performative male ep was a really funny one, helped me realize I am proudly a performative male. There's absolutely no shame in it either. If you own it and flaunt your feminist literature, you only read in public with pride. So definitely have a listen to that if you are intrigued by it. One of the biggest ones, though, this year that popped the fuck off on YouTube for us, our biggest vodcast, was our episode called How Often Should I Be Having Sex?
Yeah, shout out to India because that episode has nearly been watched 130,000 times with most of those views coming from India, which we have no idea why, but we see you and we love you and thank you for being interested into how often you should be having sex.
I was so stoked to see how well it went. And I think it really resonated with people because we found out that there's a real discrepancy in terms of how much sex that you want to be having versus how much you're having. So we asked that. And basically, most people want it to have a sex weekly, right? 69% of people were like, I want it weekly. And then when we said, how much are you actually having? That number drops dramatically. So about 46% of you were having it weekly. 34% of you were having monthly, and 14% of you were having it yearly, 7% being daily. And something that I really liked about this episode and I think was an interesting point of like angle and pivot that we didn't expect was how many women were messaging us and saying, I want sex so much more than my male partner. Generally, the narrative about sexuality is that women aren't as interested in sex and then they're not as horny. But like all the girls were coming through being like, I'm raging. Like, yeah. I want my bones boned. Like,
just as much. Like, a lot of guys were saying that they weren't that interested in sex and they felt a lot of shame around that because of the stereotype that they should just want it all the time. So it was, yeah, it was so interesting to hear from you and unpack all the ways that this pressure to have sex or this idea of the expectation of how often you should be having sex is actually impacting your life. And a huge way that that has been mismatched libidos. This was a big takeaway in that episode that we unpacked, and then we actually ended up speaking to an expert about this because so many of you told us that you have a different sex drive to your partner and it's causing a lot of tension in your relationship.
Yeah. So in this episode, we thought we would address that and get some advice on it. And we asked our psychologist and sexologist and friend of the show, Laura Lee, questions like, why do people's sex drives naturally differ and what factors influence it? Like, how should couples start a conversation about mismatched libidos without it feeling like rejection? Because a lot of you were like feeling some type of way about it. Because yeah, we discussed in the episode, it feels pretty bad to be turned down when you're just like, oh, cool. So you think I'm ugly. You don't like me.
Yeah.
What the hell? And we also asked Laura, like, how should you manage your expectations as the relationship libidos ebb and flow throughout time? And yeah, so many of you got back to us and said you really loved this episode, including Cornelius, who said, I enjoyed learning about self-reflection when it comes to difference in libidos. Most of the time when they don't align, we tend to blame our partner when in actuality, we could be the one that is killing it for our partner.
That
interesting
was
take.
Such a huge takeaway I had from that chat with Laura Lee. It's like we're so often blaming the other person. And I spoke about this with Laura, where sometimes I think in our world we will, the person who has the higher sex drive will be more valued than the person with the lower sex drive. And it's almost like the lower sex drive person is the one that's broken that needs to meet the person with the higher sex drive.
Mm.
And it was just so interesting to unpack that with her, because I was like, culturally, that's kind of how we see it. Whereas like, who's to say the person with the higher sex drive isn't the one that's broken?
Yeah.
Which was really fascinating. And that kind of takes us to another episode we did this year. One that I've been wanting to cover for years was around whether or not you have a sex or porn addiction. And it was really hard to find someone who was the right person to talk about this. Ended up talking to sex therapist Dr. Heidi McConkie, who has spent nearly 30 years working with people who have grappled or dealt with sex or porn addiction. And it was such a fascinating chat. And one of the biggest takeaways I had from this ep was the fact that, like, culturally, we actually aren't really allowed to call it sex addiction. It's kind of in the world of, like, psychology and in therapy, they – actually the term that you should be using is compulsive sexual behavior disorder.
This is something that was so new to me, and yeah, I loved hearing her explain this, because there were so many DMs coming to us wanting this episode to be done because they were like, I am obsessed with sex. Like, I can never stop thinking about it. Like, do I have an addiction? Or like, I literally watch porn like 3 to 4 times a day. Like, what's wrong with me? Am I addicted? And like, hearing you talk to her about it and being like, wow, that's actually not the right term for it, was brand new information to me.
I know. And the biggest question we had in our DMs from you was just like, yeah, how do I know if I just love sex?
Mm.
And when is it a problem? When is it a compulsive behavioral disorder? And that was really fascinating to hear from Heidi about that, because, and you know, listen to the episode if you haven't already, but she basically said that it's when it becomes destructive in your life, when it's actually something that you can't stop, when it's getting in the way of your work life, your relationships, and it's becoming detrimental to your health.
It's such a great episode. Again, these will all be linked in the show notes. And I really feel like that how often should we be having sex branched. We had so many trickle down like episodes and topics from that. So that was really cool to see the impact of that. Another big one that we did was E&M. Like, we asked the question, is everyone E&M now? And we did an episode about that. And then we had sort of a companion piece with you breaking down how to do non-monogamy ethically. And that was with Chris Cheers. Love him. Psychologist, author, great guy. E&M, basically we just like found out that a lot of you are really interested in this lifestyle, and the fact that it is becoming way more popular within like Gen Z, kind of, I guess, the breakdown of relationship hierarchy again, like, you know, knocking romantic off the top, moving other ones up, and just expanding the idea of like monogamy and relationship styles. So this is something that like we've been seeing a lot of research in this year. It's definitely gaining a lot of traction. There's been a lot of like dating app research as well that's like pointing to that. It was interesting to hear how many people were trying to use E&M to try and fix their relationship, right? And it was kind of like mismatched libido. It was like, yeah, okay, well, if you're not going to put out or give me what I need, then I'm going to go find it in somebody else. And it was surprising and maybe a little alarming to hear how many people were dealing with that situation, which is why I think we were like, let's get Chris in and do this chat.
And do the episode around how to do it ethically. Yeah. Mm. I think such a huge takeaway from the episode was the fact that like so many people were open to the idea of E&M, but not a lot of people actually felt like they did it well.
Mm.
Like, I think there was some sort of stat there where like it was like people who were like, yep, I could do it. And then the people who were like, I would never do it again was huge. Yeah. People were like, I got really burnt doing that.
Yeah.
And so I think that like it's one of those things where in theory people think it's going to be a great idea, but then they don't have the actual skills and the communication skills to be able to execute it. So I think definitely if this is something that you're open to, listen to the Chris Cheers app, because
yeah,
there's a lot you need to actually think about before you just become open.
And speaking on that same thread of, I guess, in quotations, alternative kind of like sexualities and lifestyles, we did this app, Why Are There So Many Fake Doms? And it started off by investigating how a lot of people in dating apps are actually putting their kind of like kinks in their bios. And a lot of them were like dom, sub, all
switch
sort of,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All sorts of different ones. And then from this episode, we had so many DMs from people saying that they had essentially been abused in a situation where they were like, oh, I was sleeping with someone who claimed to be a dom, but then they were actually just really hurting me. It was a very unsafe and uncomfortable environment to be in. And it seems like people are using this now to kind of get away with being a fucking jerk and being horrible and manipulative and abusive in these like very vulnerable positions that you're in when you're having sex with somebody, especially if it's like a hookup. I genuinely was like really shocked to see how many people were like resonating with this and being like, yep, this has happened to me. If you go back and listen to that episode, like we definitely do a bunch of trigger warnings because it was pretty dark and it got pretty intense. But there were some really harrowing stories about people saying like, you know, it's happened to me and this is what happened. And it was really scary, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where we kind of notice that there's this trend happening, right? We're like, oh my God, more people are using Dom on their profiles. And then when we started hearing from you and investigating it, we're like, okay, a lot of people are using the label in the wrong way and they're not actually, like they're doing just such a disservice to the actual kink community where there is a lot of safeguards, there's a lot of really important conversations, there's a lot of safety and trust that's built between people who are having sex and using, or who are and identify as DOMs or submissives. So it was a really hard episode to do.
Yeah.
It was really disheartening. A huge takeaway was just like, right, all right, we need to make sure that we chat to an expert about like what it actually means to be a DOM so that people have that awareness when they're matching and hooking up with people now.
Yeah. Shout out Lauren French, who basically gave us a really great guideline to spot a fake DOM in the wild. And shout out to everyone who said they loved this episode, including Sean, who said, I just loved how it was talked about. As someone who has been in the kink community for a long time, I was happy that newbies and vanilla people would be hearing it and learning how to be safe. And that's what we want to do with that app. Another big one that you loved, Science of Sex with Dr. Eva. So obviously there is every August we have like Science Week in Australia and we always get like a kind of a hookup after dark moment with the science questions. And this one from Matt was one of our favorites.
My question is, what can cause your penis to have or develop a curve and also difference in girth from the base to the tip? And if it's got anything to do with the way you'd pleasuring yourself in adolescence and the frequency or the way you do it, if that can sort of have an impact on the overall shape sort of thing when you get older?
Great question.
Such a good question.
You and I were like, how the hell are we going to know this? So that's when we get Dr. Eva to come in. We had amazing questions from you, like all about like menstruation, cycles, why sometimes semen makes your partner's mouth numb.
Why you might get a headache after orgasming, what causes thrush, how contraception affects your fertility. Like so many incredible questions that generally I was so curious about. I was like, I can't wait for Dr. Eva to answer these.
Yeah. So if you're into your science of sex, then definitely listen to this. Another science episode that we did talking about the science of squirting, because from that science episode, everyone was like, I want to know more about this. How do we do it? And it's something that we've covered maybe like, we cover it like kind of annually or like once every 2 years because everyone's curious
so
about it.
It's so huge. Whenever we ask you for your science question, this has got to be the most common question that comes through. And, you know, like science is forever evolving. There's obviously each couple of years that we cover it, there's some new stuff to be learned. And so we did an episode with sex educator Georgia Grace around squirting, basically what it is, how it works, what's happening in the body, how common is it? Is it pee? Can anyone with a vulva do it? She answers all these questions. We got this DM from A saying, okay, maybe TMI, but I've recently started squirting. Initially, I was so embarrassed because I thought I was peeing myself. And whilst the guy I was with was totally into it, it wasn't until your episode that I could become more comfortable. I love the way that Georgia spoke about a pretty taboo topic. It's chill. And compared to other podcasts like The Science Versus Ep, this felt like a welcome, warm, comfortable hug. Aww. I love that. It's so nice to hear that, yeah, that was your takeaway from the episode because G is one of our good friends. Yeah. She's amazing. But it is one of those things that you shouldn't have any shame around. And that's kind of what Georgia got to. It was like, this is so common. Like, it's not something to be embarrassed about.
Yeah. So shout out to everyone who enjoyed our episodes this year. We'll probably wrap it up here because there were so many.
Oh my God.
But we've been speaking for way too long. But yeah, what a fantastic year. It's been crazy, like watching all these trends drop and all your interesting topics and questions that you've given us. So again, like thank you to everyone who has ever DM'd us. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, this show literally exists because of you and I've learned so much this year. I reckon this is the year that I've learned the most. There's just so many interesting topics and like so many amazing like angles of things that I never would have thought about. So yeah, that's all thanks to you. We are going to be rolling out a bunch of episodes over the summer that were some of our favorites from the year in case you missed any of them. So you'll still have us in your feeds, but this is pretty much our last episode for the year.
Yeah. We'll see you next year.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.